It's time for Your Pet's Health, brought to you by Pet Docs Veterinary Hospital in Moorhead City. Pet Docs, your other family doctor.
And if you'd like to call in with a question for Dr. Todd Worrell, you could do that right now.
Yes, you can at 800-818-2255, 247-7282, or 353-4674.
Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Ben.
And what are we talking about today?
Well, I want to talk about this is kind of an old subject, and it may seem like we're beating a dead horse here, but I want to talk a little bit about raw foods. Excuse me. We've talked a little bit in the maybe past couple of months about raw diets and the issues that the U.S. FDA has had with those, mm-hmm. and issuing a statement that, you know, these are probably not safe because of bacterial contamination, that sort of thing. And so I wanted to, there's actually an interesting study out of the Netherlands, mm-hmm. that I just happened to come across. And it's what they did there is they took 35 raw meat products. Mm-hmm. Now, these are products that are formulated for the feeding for feeding to pets. So these are not just, you know, going in and buying some chicken
right.
breasts off
right.
the off the counter. The 35 of these diet products, 8 different brands, mm-hmm. and these are available in the Netherlands. It does not say which of these might or might not be available in the U.S. or anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but online, anything's available.
Well, that's true. So, and what they did is they were searching for the presence of some of the more common bacterial pathogens, mm-hmm. Salmonella, Listeria, E. coli, and an antibiotic-resistant strain of E. coli, as well as a couple of parasites.
Mm-hmm.
And what they found was pretty surprising to me. They found the E. coli, the O157H7, which is the one that we've had the problems with the kidney failure.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that people are afraid of, so to speak. 23% of the samples it was
oh,
present.
Wow.
Listeria, the antibiotic-resistant E. coli was in 80%. Of the samples.
Mm.
So that's E. coli that's not going to be susceptible to the typical antibiotics that would be used. Listeria in 54%, and then Salmonella, the one that is probably the most recognizable,
mm-hmm.
20%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So all of those numbers don't add up to 100. They're much more than 100. So some of these samples had more than one
infection,
pathogen.
Yeah,
exactly.
Pathogen.
They also, as far as the parasites go, about 6% had what's called toxoplasmosis, which is a common parasite that we are concerned about. And then about 20% had something called sarcocystis, which is, again, it's a muscle parasite, basically. What does that mean? That means that the FDA is probably right, that it's probably not safe
mm-hmm.
to be using these. And these usually come as frozen products or chilled
right.
products. Safe to be using these in our pets. It's not only a health risk for the pet, it's a health risk for us in handling these
mm-hmm.
products. Not to mention if the pet eats these products and then licks you in the face.
Sure.
You know? So,
were these mostly poultry products or were they a combination?
It does not say if they were mostly poultry, but you bring up a good point. You're going to have more or less of these depending on whether you have a higher beef content
mm-hmm.
or a higher, you know, poultry
mm-hmm.
content. So that's going to vary, I would assume.
Because certainly we have eaten raw fish for a long time. And
well,
we've,
exactly.
And the French yep. have made tartare famous. So
right. And that's very true. And it's, you know, it's a numbers game, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It's a percentage. You know, you're sort of rolling the dice when you get out of bed.
I'm
in the morning.
Not eating chicken sushi anytime soon. So.
Right, exactly. I would not advise. Mm-hmm. I would advise against it for sure.
Yeah.
So anyway, just something to think about. You know, again, we've touched on that topic before.
But this isn't about raw vegetables.
This is always about raw
proteins.
This is about raw meats.
Mm-hmm.
Raw meats are the ones that harbor, well, not exclusively. I mean, certainly with vegetables,
mm-hmm.
we all know that you want to wash your vegetables before you consume them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're talking about these are bacteria that are in the meat itself.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have that issue with vegetables. Now, vegetables can get contaminated on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the advice to wash your vegetables
right.
before you consume them or cook them. But no, the vegetables, not an issue
yeah. okay.
at all. So, the other interesting article I came across, and we see these every year about this time. These are, retrospective looks back at in this case, the 10 most common household toxins for pets
mm-hmm.
over, 2017. And this was put out by the Animal Poison Control Center, which is basically a group of, veterinarians and veterinary professionals that field, calls from mm-hmm. other veterinarians out in the real world about, possible poisonings, toxins, and so forth. They see, CSA, they actually take about 200,000 cases a year. So it's a pretty substantial number. The top 10, and this is in reverse order, possible or common toxins that people call about. Now, this doesn't mean either that these were deadly. It just means these are what people called about.
Right, right.
Veterinarians and lay people can call. So number 10 was garden products, fertilizers primarily, of course. Number 9 were plants. Again, some of these plants might not have been a problem at all, but they do recommend that you avoid plants such as azaleas, daffodils, lilies, sago palms, tulips. Rodenticides
for
rat poison. What's that?
The plants.
For the plants, you want to avoid those as plants in your environment,
right?
That your pet can have access to, particularly.
Okay.
Number 8 were rat poisons, which makes sense. There was an uptick last year. They suspect it had to do with some cooler weather, some more unpredictable weather. Rats coming in and out of the house, people buying more products. Insecticides is another big one. Although, fortunately, these aren't usually that serious, but misuse of these products, you really want to follow the label instructions.
Yeah, that's your next show. preaches that all the time.
And if you aren't sure you can do that, it doesn't hurt to have an exterminator come.
Yeah.
Because they certainly can apply them properly. Household products, things like glues, cleaning products, those types of things. Chocolate gets its own, you know, its own category at number 5. Number 4 were veterinary products. So these are other products meant to be used in pets, but they're being used inappropriately.
Right.
So this would include, you know, I put my dog product on my cat, or my cat product on my dog, or my dog, you know, I think I reapplied it and I did 2 doses and I was only supposed to do 1
dose. Because you've talked to us just recently about flea medicine.
Absolutely.
Wasn't it?
Flea medicine, I would suspect, it doesn't say this in here, but I suspect that's probably one of the top within that category.
Don't crossbreed those.
Exactly. So the next one is human food, which makes sense. That's number 3. That's a very common issue. You know, people may have been, you know, my dog ate, you know, watermelon. Is that safe? Or, you know, that sort of thing.
Right.
Top 2 are not going to be a surprise, probably. Number 2 are over-the-counter medicines. So these are things that may have been either purposefully or inadvertently administered.
Yeah, you know, like a cat might ignore a lot of that stuff, but a dog is going to, you know, probably take it in its mouth before.
Exactly.
It
and it depends on the dog too. Yeah. You know, some dogs will take just prescription, I mean, your pills, just
if
like
they knock
candy.
Them over and they spill out. And,
exactly. And that's a very common, we get that call a lot. I dropped the bottle. I think there were maybe 8, maybe 10. I'm not really sure how many were in the bottle. And those are the types of calls they're getting. And then number 1 are prescription medications. Our prescription medications that either we drop or we inadvertently give, especially if we store our pet's medicines next to our medicines.
Right.
Things like antidepressants, heart medications, cholesterol medications, those types of things can have some serious implications for our pets. Not always dangerous, but
and you know, we've talked about before that the growing in certain states, anyway, is where marijuana has become.
Absolutely. And this is not listed in this top 10, but I'm sure illicit drugs, you know, of various sorts are probably calls that they get at the Animal Poison Control Center as well. Absolutely.
All right. 7:24 in the morning here on the Talk Station. We're talking with Dr. Todd Arell from Pet Talks Veterinary Hospital, online at PETDOCKS.com. And you can find Pet Docs all over social media as well, but you can also call if you would like to ask a question of that. 800-818-2255, 247-7282, or 353-4674. And we're back with Dr. Todd Arell from Pet Docs Veterinary Hospital and Your Pet's Health here. 800-818-2255 are our local numbers if you'd like to call in and ask a question for that. What else do you have?
I wanted to mention sort of a spinoff from that last topic with the over-the-counter medications. And this brings up a sort of a whole different topic that we deal with on a regular basis. And that is people giving things over, quote-unquote, over-the-counter. So these might be things like aspirin or Tylenol or the other thing that we run into sometimes, but people are a little less willing to divulge of this information are herbal products, mm-hmm. things of vitamin supplements, those types of things that they may have read about on the internet. Someone has given them the idea that it may have this a positive benefit of some sort. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they will also, when they do talk to us about these things, they'll say things like, well, it can't do any harm. Mm-hmm. Right? Question mark. No. And, the issue with those products isn't necessarily that they do harm, but they can actually interact with other medications that the pet may be taking, either maybe has been taking or we're getting ready to prescribe. Mm-hmm. So it's very important for pet owners, if they're giving products like that, mm-hmm. to let us know, because, you know, echinacea may be fine, may be harmless, but it may interact with this other medication that we want to prescribe. Same thing with baby aspirin. We get that one a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll say, are you giving any medication? No, but I get baby aspirin every now and then.
Or
glucosamine. Mm-hmm. And those may be perfectly fine. In fact, we recommend glucosamine supplements on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. But let us know so that we have the full information before we may prescribe something that could have a negative interaction or may not work as well, mm-hmm. for your pet, because you're also giving these other things that we weren't aware of.
Yeah, 30 years ago, I know I was giving brewer's yeast.
Right,
my
and that's
dogs.
And that's another one that's a little less common than it used to be, but people still may be using that. Garlic, you mm-hmm. know, other kinds of things. So, you know,
just
let us know. Take inventory and let us know those things when you bring your pet, because they may have an influence on what we do. They may not. Mm-hmm. At least we know.
All right. Again, you can find out more by giving the folks at Pet Docs Veterinary Hospital a call, making that appointment, or going online at petdocs.com. Call them at 240-3885.